We'll begin with a prayer. Holy Spirit, we ask that you guide us now as we meditate upon another section of the Word which you've given us for the salvation of our souls. I pray that you open the treasures which are hidden in it and strengthen our faith in our Savior as we grow in grace and knowledge of Him. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Luke 22, verses 1 through 6. Satan and Judas Iscariot. Context is always very important. The first Passover was celebrated by the children of Israel down in Egypt on the night in which they left the land where they had been slaves and departed as a free people. The key to their freedom was the slaying of the Passover lamb. The blood of the lamb was smeared on the side posts and upper post of the house. At 12 midnight, when the angel of death passed through the land of Egypt and saw the blood, he would pass over that house. The blood of the Passover lamb had saved them. In every other house, the death of the firstborn, both of man and beast, took place throughout the whole land of Egypt. For the children of Israel, the calendar was changed on that day, which became the first day of the year for the Jewish people. And the Passover was celebrated on the first day for hundreds of years. Jews from different countries and all over the Holy Land would migrate to Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover. Every one of the Passovers pointed forward to the final great Passover when the Lamb of God would be sacrificed for the sins of the world. And now in the Gospel of Luke, we have come to that blessed moment. Thousands and thousands of people were migrating to Jerusalem to celebrate the real Passover. This was the Passover that all the Old Testament Passovers pointed to. They were the type. This is the fulfillment of the type. And the enemies of Jesus, who had been plotting his death for many days now, finally got the big break that they had been waiting for. It was completely unexpected. Now the Feast of Unleavened Bread drew nigh, which is called the Passover. And the chief priests and scribes thought how they might kill him, but they feared the people. Then entered Satan into Judas, surnamed Iscariot, being of the number of the twelve. And he went his way and communed with the chief priests and captains how he might betray him, Jesus, unto them. And they were glad and covenanted to give him money. And he promised and sought opportunity to betray him unto them in the absence of the multitude. See some oddities here. The chief priests and elders really gave money away that they wouldn't have had to. They didn't have to pay Jesus to, or Judas rather, to betray Christ. He would have done that willingly. He would have paid to do it. So they made a mistake and they lost some money. And Judas is the one that made the worst bargain. So a few thoughts about the text here. Looking, first of all, at Judas Iscariot. And the words that we have written here in the text that we've looked at tend to be troublesome to many people. but they shouldn't be. Judas Iscariot was never one of God's elect in the first place. We've got to remember that. He was never, ever numbered among that very small remnant. And as it turned out, in the end, he was a hypocrite. The truth of the matter for God's elect is this: for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And that's in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. And this is the blessed truth for every one of God's elect. He does it all. It's a gift. Judas didn't buy into that. Now, Judas Iscariot was a member of the 12 disciples, and he was chosen to be one of these 12 by Jesus. And for a time, he thought he belonged. But he was deceived. The problem was his heart. When the 12 apostles were sent out to preach and perform miracles, Judas Iscariot was one of them. For 3 years, he was with Jesus and the others almost constantly. He heard almost every sermon that Jesus preached, and he saw many, if not most, of the miracles which Jesus performed. But when the most blessed words that were ever spoken were uttered, Judas Iscariot had ears that could not hear. And when the greatest miracles in all history were held forth, Judas Iscariot had eyes that could not see. And instead of seeing the work of the Holy Spirit in the ministry of Jesus Christ, he finally joined the enemy and traced the power back to Beelzebub, the prince of the devils. The turning point for Judas seems to have come right after the feeding of the 5,000 out in the wilderness, when the people came out the next morning and wanted Jesus to be their king. But he refused. His kingdom was not of this world. And Judas seemed to look upon this as a weakness. Like most of the Jews in his time, Judas looked for a kingdom in this world. And Jesus was called the Son of David. And David was a mighty warrior. He won one battle after another and extended the boundaries of the Holy Land beyond what they had ever been before. And then this is why when his son Solomon reigned for 40 years, it was a time of peace. There were no enemies left to conquer. So, to put it another way, Judas Iscariot had the same attitude that Esau had when he sold his birthright for a mess of pottage. Esau, the mighty hunter, had failed to take any game, and he was starving and on the verge of death. And he came to his brother, and his brother had some pottage there, and Esau begged for it. And his brother said, "Sell me your birthright," which had spiritual implications, by the way. Esau was the firstborn. "And you give me your birthright, and I'll give you some pottage." So, what was Esau's attitude? It was this. This is a quote. The Holy Spirit quotes him. "Behold, I am at the point to die. And what profit shall this birthright do to me?" I put it another way. I'm starving to death. And when I die, what good are all the promises that God made to me? What good are they going to be? It's all over. We live for this life on this earth, and then when we die, it's all over. That was his attitude. That was Judas Iscariot's attitude, too. That's why he could kill the Lamb of God, selling him for 30 pieces of silver. And so he fulfilled what the poet said. Still as of old, man by himself is priced. For 30 pieces, Judas sold himself, not Christ. That's Judas Iscariot. And we have to remember this. Judas Iscariot was never, ever one of God's elect. And he hated Jesus Christ. Remember that. We have to remember that. Now we look at Jesus, who is also called the Son of Man. So he was true God and he was true man, and sometimes he laid aside his godly powers and didn't use them so he could be the perfect man. This is a mystery, but it happened that way. And the truth is this. Jesus knew from the beginning that Judas would betray him. Remember that. This was not a surprise. We're not guessing about this. The Holy Spirit tells us in John chapter 6, verse 64, but there were some of you, Jesus talking, but there are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray him. So this is one of the places where Jesus, the true human being, used his godly knowledge. And he knew before he chose Judas as one of the 12 that Judas betrayed him. Jesus knew that. So what happened in Gethsemane that night when Judas thought he was the big hero and led the soldiers out under the darkness of night with their swords and spears and lanterns to betray Jesus, he was kind of like the fifth wheel. The Jews didn't need him at all. Jesus went out to meet the soldiers. And before Judas could utter a word or plant the kiss of death on Jesus' cheek, Jesus asked him the question, whom seek ye? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. And he said, I am he. I'm the one you're looking for. And they fell backward, helpless to the ground. Couldn't do a thing. And Jesus stayed there. And when they regained their composure, he asked them again, who are you looking for? Jesus of Nazareth. Well, I'm the one. I told you that. Now let these go their way. So Judas was kind of like the fifth wheel. It was useless. Must have felt like an idiot. So we think of Psalm 55, beginning at verse 12. And here we see the humanity of Jesus. He was a true human being just like you and I are, according to his human nature. And it shows here. Listen to what he says. This is in the Old Testament. Psalm 55, beginning at verse 12. For it was not an enemy that reproached me. Then I could have borne it. I could have taken that. Neither was it he that hated me at this point that did magnify himself against me. then I would have hid myself from him. But it was thou, a man mine equal, my guide and mine acquaintance. We took sweet counsel together and walked into the house of God in company. Translation: Jesus Christ was not a robot. He had feelings. And during the 3 years of the ministry of Jesus, even though he knew that Judas would betray him, he was still a close companion with him. And when Judas did betray him, it hurt. It hurt. This is one of the greatest examples of the humanity of Jesus. And each of us in some way, at certain times in our life, are going to relate to this. And some of us have already. Have you ever been betrayed by someone who was your close friend? Someone that you really spent a lot of time with, had love for, and associated with? Ever had that happen and they turn on you? You know how you feel. You're not a robot. You don't just say, well, God controls everything and la-di-da, and so what? You know God controls everything, but it still hurts. It still hurts to be betrayed by one who was your friend. And that's exactly what Jesus Christ is feeling. He's a true human being just like you and I are. He has feelings. So then we get to the next point, and that is that God controls everything. And this is so important for us at different times in our life, really every single day. We have to remember this, that our Heavenly Father, who loves us so much that he sent his Son to die for us, controls everything that happens. And Jesus Christ, who willingly gave his life for us out of love, obedience to the Father, but also love toward us, he controls all things too. We have to remember that. It gives us comfort beyond words. All power, he said after he rose from the dead, all power has been given to me in heaven and on earth. So we cling to that, even through bitter tears and hurt feelings. As we study through the passion history of Christ, notice how he is in full control of every single thing that happens. All of it. And it's all foretold in the Old Testament. And it's the word of God, and it's got to be fulfilled. Now we think of something like Colossians chapter 1, verses 16 and 17. One of my favorite sections of the whole scripture. And it reads this way: for by him, that's Jesus, were all things created. Remember that. By him were all... Oh, the devil too, by the way. The devil is not eternal. He's a created being. And Jesus created him. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. We looked at this verse a week or so ago. The word consist means hold together. By Jesus Christ, all things are held together. And if he would remove his power, everything would disintegrate. It would all come together. The stars up in the heavens are up there because Jesus keeps them there. And when he withdraws that, his consent, consisting power, they're all going to come together in a split second. It's going to happen quickly. And for our own comfort, we think of 2 Corinthians, and we're in chapter 4, I believe. Let's see. Yeah, beginning at verse 15. And we've read this different times before, but looking at the text that we've got, as devastating as it first seems to be, here's the comfort. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. Jesus Christ is controlling everything. You are his bride. We are his bride. And he's working everything for our good because he loves his bride. For which cause we faint not, and we have trials. But though our outward man is perish, and the body is going down, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. And now you have a summary of your life as a child of God. When he said, whoever would be my disciple, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. How's it all going to end up? For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Why, we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. So we're going to let the Lord Jesus end this sermon and see how the end of it all unfolds for Judas Iscariot. And let's remember, Judas did not go to hell because he betrayed Jesus. He could have been forgiven. If he had repented and come to Christ for forgiveness, he would have been forgiven. There was one other disciple that stood on the very same ground that Judas did, and that was Simon Peter. And he denied Jesus Christ three times. But he wasn't condemned for that. He repented by the grace of God, and he was forgiven. Now, in the Gospel of John, the Holy Spirit gives us verbatim a prayer of Jesus Christ for his elect bride, the very small remnant. And that chapter of John is the real Lord's Prayer. Well, here in Psalm 109, Jesus also utters a prayer to his heavenly Father. And Judas Iscariot is one of the main participators of what Jesus is preaching about and praying about. So let's look to the end of the story, how it all ended up. And we'll let the Holy Spirit end the prayer by giving us, or end the sermon by giving us the very prayer that Jesus is uttering. And remember, Jesus is praying this to his heavenly Father. Remember that. So it was like this. Hold not thy peace, O God of my praise. For the mouth of the wicked and the mouth of the deceitful are opened against me. They have spoken against me with a lying tongue. They compassed me about also with words of hatred, and they fought against me without a cause. And remember, Judas Iscariot hates Jesus Christ. He hates him. And he hates the bride of Christ. Remember that. Now continuing with the prayer. For my love, they are my adversaries. but I give myself unto prayer. And they have rewarded me evil for good, and hatred for my love. Prayer to the Father. Set thou a wicked man over him, and let Satan stand at his right hand. When he shall be judged, Father, when he shall be judged, let him be condemned, and let his prayer become sin. Oh, Judas Iscariot prays? Oh, sure. But it's not answered. Let his days be few. Let another take his office. Let his children, you know, God has a lot of comfort for his people. We're talking about their children. Well, here's the other side of the coin. Let his children be continually vagabonds and beg. God puts the evil of the fathers unto the children, unto the third generation of them that hate him. And Judas qualifies. Let his children continually be vagabonds and beg. Let them seek their bread also out of their desolate places. They're going to be in a great and terrible wilderness looking for food, but they're not going to find any. And no man is going to come down every morning from heaven either. Let the extortioner catch all that he hath. He's going to lose everything. And let the stranger spoil his labor. Let there be none to extend mercy unto him. This is Jesus praying to his Father. And remember, the Father loves the Son. Let there be none to extend mercy unto him, neither let there be any to favor his fatherless children. Even heathen people have somewhat of a love for their children. This is hitting where it hurts. Let his posterity be cut off. And in the generation following, that's the new heaven and new earth, in the generation following, let their name be blotted out. Let the iniquity of his fathers be remembered with the Lord, and let not the sin of his mother be blotted out. It's the kind of parents that he had. Let them be before the Lord continually, that he may cut off the memory of them from the earth. God is good for, he's not going to forget about them. He's going to remember. Because that he remembered not to show mercy, but persecuted the poor and needy man. This is a side of Judas that we hadn't heard before, that he might even slay the broken in heart. That's Jesus. As he loved cursing, so let it come unto him. You're going to reap what you sow. As he delighted not in blessing, so let it be far from him. As he clothed himself with cursing, like as his garment, so let it come into his bowels like water and like oil into his bones. Let it be unto him as the garment which covereth him, and for a girdle wherewith he is girdled continually. Let this be the reward of mine adversaries from the Lord, and of them that speak evil against my soul. That's the prayer of the Son of God to his Father concerning Judas Iscariot and all of his enemies who hate him and hate his bride.